welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, the place where you go for free speech and the place that you want to support so you can continue to hear free speech. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send a donation. Go to nationalbugle.com, download the Kosher-tified app, and start living a non-kosher certified lifestyle. If you can figure out how to get your food and have it not be kosher certified, well, that's, you're well on your way to figuring out how to get other things in your life that aren't kosher certified, and that's what we all want. That's what I want. Is that what you want, Jeremy?
Totally, man.
Totally. All right. So this is a Patrick and Jeremy show. It's Wednesday, so we're going to do our usual stuff. And yesterday on the Boomer Vision, the last 10 or 15 minutes, or I guess the last 10 minutes or so before the musical interlude from what's the guy's name? What's his name? Something Poindexter, I can't remember. Engelbert Poindexter, yeah. Yeah, my old friend Engelbert.
Classy.
He's very classy. He's very classy. You'd think he'd be taller, but he's very classy. And, no, I was talking about the mail-in ballots, and mail-in election, not even being so much to steal the election, but to cancel the election. To take it out of the realm of how many people voted for whom and put it into the courts and put it into the media and put it into the mob and whatnot. So, but there's, you've got some articles that you've been looking at about some of the what's going on regarding the election and the postmaster general and one thing I want to say before handing it over to you is a few weeks ago on a live show, I had Laura from Michigan call up, and Laura is somebody who's got experience as a judge of elections in her state, and she was making some points about the unfeasibility of doing a mail, a voting by mail system. And she was saying some things about, you know, how long it takes to mail this out or that out. And I was kind of dismissive of it, but I probably shouldn't have been as dismissive of it. So I'm going to apologize to Laura, because she was probably onto something that I'm not onto yet, but we're probably going to get onto right now. So what's going on with the backroom politics, and what's been going on with the post office? Why would the post office not be up to this?
Well, let me just basically summarize what I've found in some of the several articles that I sent. What I've found is the United States Postal Service is in its 14th year of financial decline. All right, this year of 2020 is even worse because of COVID-19. And that's because, you know, you have a lot of postal carriers that are getting sick and going and getting tested, and they've got to stay home for 14 days, and that's really affected their mail delivery efficiency. But basically, you know, they've requested loans from the Fed. Now, in the first CARES Act...
loans from the Federal Reserve, or loans from the federal government?
Federal government.
Okay.
That's what I was referring to by
the feds. Yeah, the feds.
In the first CARE Act, the CARES Act, they got $10 billion. They've requested an additional $75 billion, and it doesn't look like that's happening from the articles that I've read. And what I'm seeing is that the Postmaster General is to implement cuts and reform. You know, he was going to cut overtime. He was going to get rid of some machines. And this is going to... make them even more inefficient if he does this. But I think with recent pressure being put on the Postmaster General, because the Democrats want mail-in ballots, they want to do a mail-in ballot election, which is you know, more likely to be subverted. Because of this pressure, he has decided to hold off until after the November election. He's going to hold off on all of his cuts. And that's where we come to the first article that I sent you from the Wall Street Journal.
Okay. Hey, I just got a quick idea. Just a quick idea. I say, what if we can do a mail-in election, how about this? Why doesn't Black Lives Matter and Antifa, why don't they do mail-in protests? They can, can they mail it in?
They should.
Yeah.
Then they wouldn't get to pick up black guys and pull them out of their pickup trucks and bash their heads in the cement.
Yeah.
They did that.
Beat up white guys.
Patrick, get with
it. Right.
Get with the progressive movement.
Okay.
All right. So Wall Street Journal, USPS to suspend changes until after election. And Postmaster General Louis DeJoy is scheduled to testify before the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee on Friday. So that would be in a couple of days. Why this whole thing? Because it says that he is suspending operational changes such as removal of mail processing equipment and collection boxes until after the November election, as the agency tries to reassure Americans that it can handle the anticipated surge in mail-in voting. So this is where I'm getting from this article and from others that I've read, that even though this Postmaster General, you know, they're losing money, they know they got to make cuts. If they make the cuts, the mail is going to be even slower.
Mm-hmm.
But if they make the cuts now, then the case could be made, well, look at the post office. You know, they're not operating at top efficiency to support a mail-in ballot election.
Okay.
That's the argument left.
So, I mean, my first reaction, and I guess this is more or less what I was thinking when Laura called in. My first reaction is, yeah, I go down, check my mailbox every day, and there's usually a bunch of mail. You know, I get bills, get plenty of bills, and but I also get, you know, all sorts of junk mail. And if you're talking about one ballot being mailed out from, you know, your local election body, and then you mailing back one ballot sometime between now and November 6th, that doesn't seem like it's going to create that much of a difference in the, you know, the overall amount of, the overall volume of mail that the post office is expected to handle. Now, apparently I'm missing something because there's this big brouhaha about it, but to me it seems like you know, Verizon or AT&T or MasterCard or whatever, these places that are always sending out these offers, if they did one more or less ad campaign, is that going to overwhelm the post office? So, well, that's why I'm a little, and I'm willing to say maybe I'm missing something because this has become a big brouhaha.
Well, I think the argument that's being made is that if the Postmaster General does the cuts that is necessary to get the budget back in control, which may not even be possible, they're in the tens of billions of dollars in the deficit, you know, in the last 14 years. But if he does make these cuts now and starts now, then that's going to make the mail-in ballots come in later. And that's going to provide a case that the Republicans can make that no, mail-in ballots are not efficient. You know, it's going to be a big mess and we should vote in person. That's the back and forth that I see going on. What do you say about that?
No, I mean, I think that's the back and forth that's going on. I think back a month or so ago, when we had our belated tax deadline, July 15th tax deadline, and I remember going down, like, in prior years, I have often been able to go down, if not to my local post office, to another post office not too far away, and the places would be open until midnight. And they didn't have that. They had, you know, just were they open until 5 or open until 6? I can't remember whether it was 5 or 6. I just remember going down and thinking I could really be using these last 7 hours to work out a few things and maybe save some money on my taxes, but I can't because I have to come down here and get in line. And there was a line. I think I stood in line for close to an hour to hand the guy. And he was the usual worker there. I think maybe he's a supervisor, but hand the guy my envelopes, and he put the first class stamps on, and made sure that they got the correct postmark, so that my taxes wouldn't be considered late. And I do remember, like, while I'm waiting in line, workers just going home. And I thought he said that they don't want to work overtime, that nobody want. Maybe he was saying they don't want us to work overtime, but I thought what he said was nobody wants to work overtime. Maybe he said nobody wants us to work overtime, and I just missed that syllable. But anyway, that was my experience from that. And these mail-in ballots, nobody's talking about them being certified mail or anything, right? It's just going to be regular first-class mail. Volume-wise, I don't see why this would be overwhelming the post office, but I think I'm very open to the idea that I'm missing something somewhere.
Well, from what I'm pulling up in the history here, it says that the coronavirus pandemic of 2020 has been predicted to cause a large increase in mail voting because of the possible danger of congregation at polling places for the 2020 election. A state-by-state analysis concluded that 76% of Americans are eligible to vote by mail in 2020, which is considered a record number. The analysis predicted that 80 million ballot mail in 2020, more than double the number in 2016. The Postal Service sent a letter to 46 states in July 2020 warning that the service might not be able to meet the state's deadlines for requesting and casting last-minute absentee ballots. So this is the fear, is that a lot of ballots are going to arrive late and are going to muck up the election, you know, come November. So I think this is why the Postmaster General has felt pressure to not cut back on overtime. And that's one of the things that he wanted to do, is if you cut back on overtime, you're cutting back on the delivery services, you know, getting things out in a timely manner. I mean, that just makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the back and forth is, you know, if this guy cuts back, he's going to be seen as making the case for mail-in ballots are not going to be efficient, and they're going to hamper the election. So I think there's pressure from the left. This guy was feeling pressure to not do the cutbacks now and to wait till after November. That's what I'm reading.
And the cutbacks, otherwise, if it wasn't for this mail-in ballot pressuring, the cutbacks would have happened for business reasons.
Yes.
Yeah, and of course, well, the United States Post Office has been in bad shape for a long time. I mean, we've got the whole term going postal to mean that you lose your mind and you shoot your coworkers, and that's called going postal. That's part of our culture now, is we have a term like that. It's entered the language, going postal. Just go insane. In other countries, the post office is a lot more reliable, and if you put something in the mail, you absolutely trust it's going to get to where it's going. Now, here's something. So, whether it's a U.S. mail, whether it's FedEx, whether it's UPS, people aren't, like a lot of older people, aren't able to get their medicine through mail service. They have these, if you're getting prescriptions, you can get it at the post office, but they have these pharmacies, these mail-in pharmacies, which will deliver the packet, you know, they'll send your pharmaceuticals to you, your prescriptions to you. But, of course, the problem with that is that in many neighborhoods, you have porch pirates. That's another new term in our language, porch pirates, who steal your packages. They steal your Amazon packages, whatever. And there is a market for, I would think, for prescription drugs, because many of them are expensive. And so these things get stolen. And if they can steal Amazon packages, if they can steal prescription drugs from people's porches, it's a federal offense to steal somebody's mail, but it's a federal offense to commit voter fraud anyway. And so if you're going to be committing voter fraud, why not? If you have some knowledge about when the ballots are being mailed out, you can, you know what they look like, you go and steal a bunch. Yeah, why wouldn't that happen? And for the people who are expecting their ballot in the mail, if they don't get their ballot on a particular day, they just expect, well, maybe I'll get it tomorrow. And so, yeah, the whole thing is ripe with fraud. I have voted absentee a few times in my life because I'm going to be out of town, because I'm out of state for school, or I've just moved and haven't registered in the new state yet, or whatever. I don't know. And I did once, because I was overseas, wind up getting my ballot late, and I was upset because I figured my write-in vote wasn't going to count. But like I say, I'm just going to repeat my conclusion from yesterday. I think it's more than just voter fraud. It's really canceling the election, because you're guaranteeing that people aren't going to trust the outcome of the election, and the president will be decided through other means than the November 3rd election. So,
yeah, I mean, they're already building the narrative of that, of contending the election.
Mm-hmm. They are.
And I think all votes are being pulled out. And in this article from FoxBusiness.com, you know, that I sent in the prep, there's pressure from the left and the right. So pressure from the right are the Republicans. You know, Jim Jordan from Ohio, I really like Jim Jordan, grilled Fauci, did a good job at it. But he reiterated that the Postal Service's business model is failing, and simply throwing more of the taxpayers' hard-earned money at them won't fix their problems. So Jim Jordan, you know, is advocating for the Postmaster General to implement these changes, which could, in theory, make everything run slower and not be efficient for mail-in ballots. All right. Trump administration has also been active in pushing for postal reform.
Mm-hmm.
Treasury.
He has been.
Postal Task Force. The Task Force of 2018, a sustainable path forward, recommended that the agency focus on its core mission of physical mail-in package delivery, improve its ability to identify wasteful and ineffectual practices, realign labor costs and practices within the broader labor market, review the universal service obligation, and consolidate underperforming facilities. So a translation, mm-hmm. eliminate overtime and close facilities that aren't delivering
right
on time. So the Republicans are pushing, you know, reduce the post office, get within budget, and mail-in ballot voting is not feasible because of these reductions.
Well, we are up on the break. We'll be right back.
To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you a number, hadn't checked it.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the show. So we were discussing Trump, President Trump, actually from the very start of his presidency, from the start of his administration, he has been talking about the post office. There used to be a show I watched. It's been canceled, but it was on PBS, and it was produced by CNBC. It was called The Nightly Business Report. It doesn't exist anymore. But the Nightly Business Report had been... covering this story because President Trump, for one thing, he was in a feud with Amazon because he was saying Amazon is taking advantage of the post office. Amazon has some sort of deal with a post office where the post office would do the last mile of Amazon deliveries, and it wasn't being paid adequately, and it was bunging up the postal system. It was burdening the postal system with loss-making operations. And so this is nothing new. This is nothing new for the president to be calling for changes in the way the post office does business.
But now, with the political climate that we're in, the left, or the Democrats, are accusing Trump of saying, well, if you push these changes to the Postal Service, which, you know, will make the mail slower, then you're going to inhibit the ability for Americans to vote, you know, via ballot through postal service, because, you know, they know it's an understood thing. Like, both sides understand that if we vote by mail, the chance of the election being rigged are much higher. You know, it's very easy to rig that election. If vote by mail happens in November, Trump's going to win. That's the understanding. And so the picture that's being painted, mm-hmm. and I think it's an actually accurate one, is that, you know, Trump making the post office do these cuts is a case for we should not do mail-in ballots. That's the picture being painted.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think ultimately this is going to be a state-by-state basis, because it's going to be the federal government, in terms of voting, it sets the federal election date as the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. That will be, you know, that was all along, that was the date of the House of Representatives election. And then once senators started being elected directly, that's for the senatorial election as well. And then, of course, initially the presidential election, it wasn't in most states by voters, it was by state legislators or legislatures. In some places it was the governor who appointed the electors, but that's also become the date for that. So it's all been that first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. As for the people who actually vote, you know, we have differences from state to state, because some states allow ex-felons to vote, some don't. So you've always had differences there, and now you're having, in some places, not in federal elections, but in local elections, foreigners voting, things like that. So there's always been these types of differences. And in terms of mail-in absentee ballots, they're going to be differences there, and this is going to be something that's decided on a state-by-state basis. But, you know, Jim Jordan's from Ohio, and I don't know if Ohio was the first state, but if you remember, go back about 6 months when we were following these first couple of primary elections, and then all of a sudden in March, COVID happened, and they started postponing elections. You remember, I think Ohio might have been the first one that, was it Ohio or Georgia, one of them, was just postponed. They started postponing elections that were supposed to happen in March, and they pushed them back to May or even June. They were actually postponing these primary elections. And then, was it Ohio, where so many of the polling places got shut down because of fears of COVID or whatever, and they were pushing mail in? The whole thing's been chaotic, but the Democrats, because the Republican primary was meaningless. President Trump was effectively not being challenged. There was William Weld from Massachusetts, a former governor and bong partner of Gary Johnson in the last election for the Libertarian Party, was technically challenging him, but he was being widely ignored and wasn't going anywhere. But in, you know, the Democrats basically canceled their primary election. They just said, okay, well, Joe Biden's ahead, we're just going to cancel the rest of it. And they effectively canceled the rest of it. They eventually, elections were held, but the election campaign was just ended. So it's, I don't know, final thoughts on this before we move on?
Well, I think no matter where we go with this, this coming election is going to be contended. And by both sides, probably going to see riots in the streets, mm-hmm. because a BLM riot trend is not going to stop. And there's going to be, I think the Democrats are going to provide the narrative that this whole election was fixed if Donald Trump wins it, and that they need to contest it because Black Lives Matter, and, you know, we're all racist, and America's a racist country, and Trump's a dictator. That's going to be the narrative that's built. So this back and forth with the mail-in ballots and the Postmaster General, I mean, that's just part of that whole narrative.
Okay, well, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, and we are back. And so, what does America and Belarus have in common? Do you know what I'm thinking?
A potentially contested election where there's protesters in the street.
Exactly. In other words, color revolutions. We're both experiencing color revolutions. Belarus, and this is very near and dear to my heart. I have been to Minsk a couple of times, once in the winter and once in the summer. In the winter it was too cold, and the summer was beautiful. Very nice city. That was back in the Soviet days. Anyway, so we've got the president of Belarus, who I've become a very big fan of this year because he has been more dismissive of the coronavirus than any other national leader. I mean, you got people like Bolsonaro, who I guess was fairly dismissive of it, but for Alexander Lukashenko saying, no, ride a tractor, it'll be make you strong, play ice hockey and drink vodka, it's good for your immune system, and to say, we would rather die on our feet than live on our knees. And so, you know, I don't know a whole... I mean, Lukashenko's been around, obviously, for like 26 years or something. I never followed him particularly closely. I know he's been referred to as the last dictator in Europe, although now they're always calling Putin a dictator and everything, and that Lukashenko has been very close to Putin, and in fact there is some sort of confederacy that the Russian Republic and Belarus are in some sort of very lopsided confederacy. But at any rate, so Lukashenko is being targeted for a takedown by some sort of CIA or whatever sponsored color revolution. And so you sent me an article from the Daily Stormer, and the Daily Stormer bases its articles, but Daily Stormer articles, for people who aren't familiar, are commentaries on articles from other sources typically. And so there's an article from Russia Today, which would be a good source on this subject. It would be a good source. And then there's some commentary from Andrew Anglin. So why don't you introduce that article?
Well, yeah, Anglin from the Daily Stormer writes that Angela Merkel is plotting against Belarus.
And so what is the title of this article? It's a little bit lewd. It's very lewd.
I'm gonna clean it up a little bit for the RBN audience.
Yeah, keep it classy.
We got to keep it classy, Sandy. I mean, RBN. Merkel plotting against Belarus, citing a kook election fraud hoax. But Putin tells her what to do.
Okay. So people have to go, and we have to keep it classy. And so because we're keeping it classy, I just can't figure out a classy way to describe what former Italian Prime Minister, who was the guy who was the media, the media magnate who was the Italian Prime Minister for all those years. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. That's embarrassing. But he had a term for her, which was basically called her somebody that he would not want to get very close to, but it was in a much more lewd term. So
let's just say that Putin tells Angela Merkel where to head in.
Yeah,
and you can go from there.
Whatever. Yeah. Okay.
So the bottom line is that, you know, the West, the degenerate West, the Zog in America and in the Western country of Germany, they've been really wanting to subvert Russia and Belarus. They want to bring global homo there. They want 10-year-old little boys to be able to dance in drag in front of gay men. They want to bring all of this Western vibrancy to Russia and Belarus, but Russia and Belarus have rejected that. So Merkel, of course, is jumping on the bandwagon here, condemning Lukashenko, saying that his election was invalid, when really Lukashenko won, 85% of the vote? The people obviously want him, so now there's some fake and gay ops going down in Belarus. We can see this from middle-aged to younger women, childless women, rioting in the streets of Belarus, and saying, and with signs, a lot of them in English, you know, saying that
that's always a sign.
Valid.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this whole fake color revolution going on, and Lukashenko has dismissed it. He's even fired rubber bullets at some of the protesters, and authorized his police to keep them in check. He's not going to let what happened in America happen there. And so the West is calling him out on that, and Angela Merkel in particular. So that's what this article is about.
Okay, and by the way, the Italian Prime Minister, I was thinking of Silvio Berlusconi. Silvio Berlusconi, a lot of people would remember him. He had three stints as Prime Minister, starting in 1994 and going through 2011. It was said that he became Prime Minister so that he could avoid arrest. So, anyway.
And so I want, from Andrew's article, I'll try to clean it up, and because his words are, you know, he has a way of putting things. He writes, Americans not only don't know where Belarus is on a map, mm-hmm. they don't even know it is a country. Yet Mike Pompeo has put overthrowing the government of Belarus based on a totally nonsensical election fraud, quote-unquote, hoax, at the top of the American agenda, 10 weeks before the most important election in the nation's history. And he's meaning our election.
Mm-hmm.
Fellow disgusting fat slob Angela Merkel is getting in on the action, and is her weird, as is her weird perverted bellboy Emmanuel Macron from France. So yes, Belarus is in Europe, so maybe it is more relevant to the Germans or the French in theory than it should be to America. Merkel no doubt wants to open the country up for a resource exploitation by German companies. Now that's interesting. Opening the country up to resource exploitation. Could you expand on that a little bit?
Well, I'm trying to think exactly what the resources would be. Belarus is it's wedged between Poland. It's smaller than Poland, and the massive Russian Federation to its east. It's got Lithuania, a border with Lithuania, which is tiny in the north. And then in the south, it's got a border with Ukraine, which it has a lot of cultural connections with. What are these resources? I don't know what these resources would mean. I mean, it has agriculture. I'm not sure.
Could it be, you know, Russia has a lot of natural gas resources and oil. Could it be that, you know, if they can take down Belarus, they can eventually take down Russia. Could that be what they're talking about?
Yeah, that could be.
Is this a step one?
Yeah, because Belarus is the closest ally for Russia, and it's like this isn't exactly analogous, but if China could. China, the Chinese menace, the Chaigoms, if they could take over Canada, they could take, you know, and the United States let them take over Canada, then what? So maybe that's the best I can do with that one.
And I think Putin realized this in his response. From Russia Today, the article reads, Russian President Vladimir Putin has told his German and French counterparts, Angela Merkel and Emmanuel Macron, that any attempt by outside forces to intervene in the political crisis in Belarus would be counterproductive. So apparently they made phone calls to each other, and according to the German side, Angela Merkel told Putin that Alexander Lukashenko's government must stop using violence against, get ready for it, peaceful demonstrators.
Mm-hmm.
That's a global. It's a global catchphrase now, peaceful demonstrators. Anyway, Lukashenko needs to enter into dialogue with the opposition and immediately release political prisoners. I don't know what that's all about. Apparently he's got people that were subversive to Belarus that he's imprisoned, and they want them released. Maybe that's what that's about.
It wouldn't be a surprise if there were political prisoners in Belarus. So Lukashenko has been president for 26 years, and it has less it's less Western democratic than other countries in Europe. But of course, what does Western democracy even mean anymore? And of course, you look at the United States, and we've got Jacob Goodwin, for instance. If he's not a political prisoner, what's he doing in jail for?
Yeah, and what I'm taking away from this whole article is that Russia, quoting the article, Russia pointed out that foreign attempts to intervene or to interfere in the country's domestic affairs were unacceptable and could further escalate the tensions. Translation, Putin says to Lukashenko, bro, I've got your back against the EU. Because,
yeah.
I mean, honestly, the European Union is there just to... They were invented to stop Russia from, like, becoming a world power and getting into agreements with Germany that would benefit both Russia and Germany. Isn't that the purpose of the EU, to stop that?
Well, maybe that's what it's become. I think the original purpose of the forerunners of the EU, the European Steel and Coal something or other, it started out off with a free trade association between five countries, France, Germany, and then the three little Benelux countries in between, Belgium, Netherlands, and Luxembourg. And then Italy joined in pretty soon, too. But the original purpose was to integrate Germany into the French and other Western European economies so that Germany wouldn't go its own way. That's really what the original purpose was back in the late 40s when the ancestor organizations of the EU came into effect. But NATO was always explicitly anti-Soviet/Russian. And NATO and the EU are kind of merging in a way. And yeah, the EU has become very, like you say, the way its purpose now is to a very large extent a check on Russia.
And you know, it doesn't surprise me, because the globalist elite, the kind of people that would meet at the Davos summit in Switzerland, they don't like Lukashenko or Putin. Neither men were invited, to my knowledge, to that summit.
Mm-hmm.
Because Lukashenko, you know, has stood against the coronavirus lockdown. He's one of the main figures that have stood against it. And as you mentioned, you know, he told his people to go on about their business,
yeah,
drink vodka, ride tractors, play hockey.
He may be the main figure, not even just one of the main figures. He may be the main figure. And you got to think that this the fact that he has been so dismissive, and that 6 months later you don't have corpses piled up in the street, means that by completely ignoring, and he's surrounded by all these other European countries, by completely ignoring the coronavirus, they haven't had a doomsday scenario. And you could say, well, you can't trust their numbers. Well, whose numbers can you trust? It's not a matter of trusting the numbers. It's a matter that Belarus has not collapsed as a result of ignoring the coronavirus. And if Belarus hasn't collapsed, then what was the point of the lockdowns?
And look at their economy, man. It's second to none. I mean, they're thriving. So, yeah, I mean, I think they handled the coronavirus hoax very well. And, you know, this is why I think the world leaders are against them. And as we pointed out in the last Patrick and Jeremy, you know, the Agenda 2021 and Agenda 2030, this is an attempt to bring all countries in on this globalist reset. And Lukashenko, as well as Putin and Russia, are pushing against this. And to some extent, Donald Trump is pushing against it to the best of his ability. He could push a little harder, I think, but I'm an armchair quarterback. Pivoting over to coronavirus lockdowns, and I want to get into testing and why we should test. Are you ready to pivot to this?
I'm ready. I'm ready. Why shouldn't we test?
So, I mean, the big push test, and I'm going to relate to you, like, you know, I'm not self-employed anymore. I work in agriculture, very secure job. We're not going to be shut down. But I have people that I know that are working in different areas. And in this particular area of work, two individuals got sick over the weekend, and they felt like they maybe had coronavirus because they were really scared by the media. So I said, look, don't go test. Do not go voluntarily test. Do not take the test no matter what, even if they threaten to fire you. Because here's the deal. Submitting yourself to a coronavirus test, you're opening yourself legally. You're going to have to, if you test positive, you're going to have to sign documents from the health department saying that you will quarantine. And this opens you up, because if you just refuse to test, you know, the law enforcement and the health department, they can't come to your house and come in. They got to have a warrant. You know, no judge, even now, is going to issue a warrant for suspected corona infection. But if you sign your name to papers saying that you voluntarily tested and you have COVID and you're positive and you sign away your life to a 14-day quarantine, that gives them the opening to then enforce that legally. And if you break that quarantine, you know, they can bring charges against you. Maybe misdemeanor, maybe felony.
Okay. Hey, listen.
What if you break...
We're coming up on the break, but you've got the whole other side of the break to finish this up. Yeah. All right, we'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Okay, and we're back, and Jeremy's explaining why you should not test for coronavirus.
Well, like I said, you're opening yourself up to legal prosecution. If you test positive, even if you don't have symptoms, I mean, then they could get a warrant to come to your house because you could be a public health safety risk. And so if you do anything to break quarantine, then they could maybe hit you with some citations. That could lead to fines, could lead to jail time. God forbid, if you come in contact with an elderly person that dies, who knows what they could do from there. So do not go get tested. If you're sick, take sick leave. Stay home. Recover and come back. Treat it like you would last year with any normal sickness. And, you know, that's what I have to say about that. And I know some people personally that have went and tested. These individuals went, they took the test, and they got to wait 3 or 4 days. They have symptoms, congestion, fatigue, everything you would have from the flu. But guess what? They did not get prescribed medicine. The doctor that tested them was only interested in testing them for coronavirus. They weren't tested for strep throat, for the regular flu, for stomach viruses, for pneumonia. They weren't tested for any of that. They were sent home without medication to suffer for 3 days waiting on their test. So this is what the deal is. This is all a hoax. I'm telling you right now, I've seen it. I know people that have went through it. I know people that have had coronavirus and recovered. This is the flu, bro. I'm telling you. And, you know, this is why Patrick and Jeremy is such a valuable show, because, you know, we bring to you this news. And if I may, Patrick, I want to elaborate a little bit.
Go right ahead. You got a couple more minutes.
One more minute. Our different personalities. You know, I'm, you know, Jeremy, I'm the hard partying, hard working, heavy drinking, blue collar working man. A little bit of a potty mouth, rough around the edges. But sometimes I can be surprisingly bright. And you contrast that with the Dr. Patrick Slattery. He's the intellectual, political scientist, professor. He's experienced, refined. He's also the right-hand man to David Duke. Although, Patrick, you're not always in touch with the common man. I've seen this in phone calls, but still, you're surprisingly socially astute. I think that's what makes our show very unique, is that we provide this take to the audience from two different angles, and we come together. You know, also, I'm a Christian. I got the Christian worldview, and you're an agnostic. And I think you keep me down to earth in my political analysis. Well, what do you think of that take on the Patrick and Jeremy show?
Hey, it's a good show. And I tell you, the worst thing about doing the show is I don't get to listen to it and have it be fresh when I'm listening to it. That's the only downside of doing this show. Because it's a good show. I would want to listen to it.
We have a lot of emails we're going to have to get to next time. And we're going to do a whole show devoted to emails, if we can.
Okay. Hey, well, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Patrick. And you stay classy.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.